Hello and welcome to The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. It's August, which means the academic year is about to start. The first day of classes is less than 3 weeks away on the 26th, and preparations are being made throughout the campus and the town for the influx of warm bodies here in Northeast Texas when that day comes.
That's right, Jared, and of course, since we're getting ready to start a new year, it's also a great time to look back at the academic year just ending and contemplate our achievements and what kind of opportunities are opening up as we move forward.
We'll see where we've been and where we're going.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Our guest for this program today is Dr. Mary Hendricks, who is the Vice President for Student Access and Success. And Mary is a graduate of both Commerce High School and Old ET, and is, I guess, in many ways our institutional memory, but she's much more than that as well. She has done just about every job there is to do on campus and has a very important position and is very good in her position of taking care of students. I guess that's when we say student access and success, that encompasses a lot of areas, but what it boils down to is making sure that our students get in the door, that they are successful and they graduate, and that they remember us fondly when they go out and be successful in their chosen careers. So, Mary, welcome. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. That was a very kind way of saying that you have an old lady here as a guest.
Well, with age comes wisdom and maturity, and as well as other things, but we won't get into that. But it has been a busy year. As we kind of look back, I think a lot of the great achievements this year have been in your area. And let's start out with our new residence hall that opened last fall and our next new residence hall, which is getting ready to open in just a couple of weeks.
Yes, we're very happy, of course, that Pride Rock opened its doors last fall for our entering freshmen. And this is the first year that we will be requiring sophomores to live on campus. And so that necessitated the construction of a new facility, 500-bed plus residence hall. And I understand it's almost full. So
yes,
we have two more orientations to go, and we're very pleased that all of our residence halls, the numbers are showing significant increases.
Yeah, well, that's tremendous. And you mentioned that with the addition of this new residence hall, which, by the way, I walked through this weekend. And Jared, if you haven't been down on that end of campus, you really need to go take a look.
Well, I visit and I see the thing coming up. And as it started to block sight lines, it's such a huge, huge building.
It is.
It's bigger than Pride Rock.
Yes.
The one that's there.
Oh,
before.
It's twice the size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've got all the sod in now, and they're out, you know, kind of putting the finishing touches on it. And, you know, you walk in, there's this big, beautiful kind of courtyard, I guess, sort of a quad. When that whole end of campus is fully developed, we'll have essentially a quadrangle, a residential quadrangle. But, yeah, it's an impressive-looking structure. But to come back to a point that Dr. Hendricks mentioned about requiring both freshmen and sophomores to live on campus, on the one hand, that sounds like, you know, being a little bit heavy-handed. But on the other, it's really not. It's really in their best interest to live on campus. Why is that? What does the research show about student engagement?
Student engagement, the research regarding requiring students to remain on campus through the sophomore year, is really significant.
Mm-hmm.
Other institutions across the U.S. who have done this, you'll have a little dip initially because you're starting something new, but what you see is retention and graduation rates improve. We know if students are engaged, they're taking full loads.
Right.
There's a commitment and a motivation factor that's just immeasurable as far as student success. We know, particularly at our university, a large majority of our students work, and the commute factor and balancing professional life with school, it's difficult. And so the more opportunities we can provide them with jobs and aid packages that allow them to be full-time students, it's going to pay off.
Right. And, of course, if they live on campus and they just need a little bit of help with tutoring or any kind of, you know, the clinic or counseling services,
yes,
all of those things are right at hand.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a special trip to go take advantage of those services.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for having, quote, requiring students to live on campus. It really is in their best interest because those are the students who tend to be the most successful.
This is The President's Perspective with Dr. Dan Jones, President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, and our guest is Dr. Mary Hendricks, Vice President of Student Access and Success.
I think another tremendous high water mark for us has to do with our record enrollment this year.
Yes.
And of course, you're over in enrollment management as well as advising and so forth. How do you account for that growth?
I think when you look at our competition, particularly in this region, you have to look at what is your niche.
Mm-hmm.
Why do students choose you over other institutions? And we have really set as our goal to be the university that cares in everything that we do. Certainly, we have quality academic programs, but if you want to be ahead of the pack, you have to be one that students know you care about them, and as well as the families. Parents are investing a significant amount of money nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to know that they are leaving their children in the hands of someone that's going to take care of them, ensure their success.
Right. And I know at our orientation sessions, we always invite the parents to come along.
Yes.
It's not just for the new students. We want the parents to be engaged and be kind of invested in their student success.
Yes.
And as you said, we want them to feel comfortable, you know, when they're driving back to their empty nest or
what have you.
What have you, yeah.
Well, you want the family to feel safe, and you want to feel safe. You want to feel good about where they're going to be. When you talk about, you know, extending that requirement to have them staying on campus, you just... College is more college when you live there. You know, it's more the whole experience whenever you're there, whenever you're engaged. I think when you talk about it in terms of engagement, engaging the parents is just as important. Having them to, you use the term buy-in whenever you feel like you're trying to get somebody on board with something that may not have been. But in this situation, it really is just exposure to the facilities, exposure to the environment that their loved ones are going to be in for the next few years in order to get their degree. And so I think in a lot of cases, you bring the parents on board too.
Right.
Whenever the young one goes to college and the parents kind of get to say, so what's have you been over to so-and-so place?
Right,
or did you go spend any time there? Boy, that place looks neat. I think it creates that conversation. And, you know, the early developmental research indicates for young children that the more their parents are involved, the better they do. And so I think it all plays into that same wonderful cycle that is attaining the degree here at A&M Commerce.
One of the most gratifying things that that I enjoy about being here is that when we go to those orientation sessions and talk to the parents, sometimes we're seeing third and fourth generation Lions. You know, there are alumni bringing now their children and grandchildren to go to school here.
Right.
And so it has become kind of a legacy. We talk about becoming a destination university, and that's part of it. You know, it's a university that has traditions and really stands for something in people's hearts and minds. We talked a minute ago about the residence hall, but that's not the only campus improvement that we have been working on. Our Sam Rayburn Student Center is being expanded, and Mary, can you tell us a little bit about that and why that was necessary?
Only 4 years old, but we're already having to expand the student center. Our dining facility was just too small for the influx of students that we have, particularly with adding the requirement of sophomores remaining on campus. And also, we've just run out of conference space. Our student organizations are very active on campus, and so they have first priority in booking rooms. And we also serve the community, and it had just reached a point that it was very difficult to schedule. And so we're hopeful. Of course, the dining facility will be ready in the spring, and then the additional conference rooms in fall of 2014.
Right, and that'll be the second story, the conference rooms.
Yes.
Right. So we still think of the Student Center as being brand new, and of course, in many ways it is. I mean, you walk in and it still kind of has that that new building, you know, look and feel and smell.
Right, exactly.
But it was too small, essentially, the day it opened.
Right.
And so this is a $10 million addition, double the size of the dining facility, and as Dr. Hendricks said, provides some much-needed conference space. I mean, this is really the premier venue in Hunt County in this entire region.
It is.
For community events, for professional organizations to come and have conferences and that kind of thing. So It is kind of a campus showcase.
I enjoy that conversation with folks whenever they talk about, didn't they just build that building? Why are they already building on? And I say, well, yeah, but think about that. They built the building. The plans for the building were a few years ahead of what was going to be big growth, but nobody could really kind of assume the growth that was going to happen. And then the growth happens, and we're immediately out of space, and we immediately have to expand in order to serve the massive amount of students that are coming onto campus over the past few years. And so it's kind of fun to say, well, the reason that we're adding on to the house already is because the family's already growing. That's why, because they were growing before we even got the house built. That's
exactly
why.
Exactly. Well, and another addition that's going up as we speak is another wing to our nursing building.
Yes.
And that, I think, is another high point in our year in review here, that we, after several years of hard work and a lot of stops and starts, we finally got our nursing program up and running, fully approved, and we admitted our first cohort in January.
Right.
And that's very exciting. And we've talked about that program before on the program here, but we are housing it in the old Fellowship Hall to the Episcopal Church,
right,
which we acquired. We've already added one wing on, and now we're adding another 7,000 square foot wing onto that to accommodate a program that is really getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Hendricks, you track student interest in these programs.
Yes.
And I know you've gotten a lot of inquiries about this program.
Oh, certainly. This is a program that has been sorely needed in this region for many years. And so high interest, the fact that we will be implementing an RN to BSN program as well, I think is also a need for this region.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. Well, I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface here, Jared.
There's so many things to talk about. And two, we didn't even really talk about athletics, which in this past year has made some pretty amazing announcements about things that are going to be happening in the future, and announced the hire of a few folks who's really going to kind of get to show off here as this next academic year starts. So we can talk more about that. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the 2013-2014 academic year and all that it might hold in store for Texas A&M University Commerce. This is the President's Perspective on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hey, Brad Davis here. If you would, why not take a minute out of your day and make a donation to great public radio here in Northeast Texas? It's real easy. Just go online to ketr.org/support and give a little back to the station that keeps you in the groove.
It's the President's Perspective here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Dr. Dan Jones is here. I'm Jared Knight. We just talked about all the things that have been happening this past academic year, new residence halls, a lot of the orientation sessions that are making families comfortable with sending their kids here, which is great because we need those students to come to A&M Commerce and get their educations. We also talked about the expansion of the Student Center in order to accommodate the growth that we're experiencing. And now, too, we've seen a lot from the athletic department in terms of new hires and things that they've got on the horizon, not the least of which is a brand new football coach and a brand new football season that'll be starting up on September 7th here
in
Commerce.
Yeah, the countdown has begun. I've been tracking it on Twitter and Facebook. We've got a great presence there for our athletic program. And as you say, there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of expectation. We have a new, well, I guess we can't call him new anymore. He's been here 6 months. But Ryan Ivey, our new athletic director, came to us from McNeese. And just really hit the ground running. And one of his first tasks as AD was to hire a new football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think most of our listeners know, we picked up the defensive coordinator from West Texas, Colby Carthel.
The head coach's son.
The head coach's son at WT. In fact, we play WT, I think it's the third week of September.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already talking about the Carthel Bowl.
Yeah. We need the rivalry there. That'll be
fun. Yeah. But those two young men have really created a real stir and a real buzz. Coach Carthel brought most of his staff with him, his assistant coaches. And, Mary, I'm sure you've picked this up in the community, too, this sense of it's a new day, it's a fresh start in Lion Athletics. And
exactly.
We haven't won a game yet, but we haven't lost a game yet
That's
either.
Right.
So
it's a real great time.
I would add also that these two young men and their families and the people that they brought with them are stimulating the housing market and the economy in Commerce. We have three new housing starts this spring and summer, the result of Coach Carthel, the head of our math department, and another employee. And that's more new houses that have been built in Commerce in the last 3 years.
Wow. So it's time, right?
It's time, right. I guess that's a roundabout way of saying that the university's engagement in the community continues to grow.
Right.
And it's because of the people. And, of course, the people that make it great. And we were just talking off the air about the tremendous stir that occurred last week when the photos of our new playing field got
right,
out.
And then were picked up by the orbiting satellite.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, you can see it from afar.
Yes, outer space, I've heard.
Uh-huh.
We have a new playing surface made by AstroTurf, which is the oldest and most respected company in the field. So to speak, and we have our logo, our lion's head, stretches from 30-yard line to 30-yard line.
Right, covers a lot of ground.
Covers a lot of ground, and that got picked up last week by ESPN and Yahoo. Even NPR picked it up in their kind of, well, this is an NPR station.
Yeah,
so
they had an inside line maybe a little, but they might could see it from their top story. I don't know.
So we got a great little unexpected publicity boost, but coaches have been out recruiting, and we really anticipate a tremendous season, not just in football, but we're starting softball next year. New softball coach that we hired late in the spring has begun recruiting. Our first year of competition will actually be the following year, but we're already recruiting players. We will redshirt them for this initial year and then start playing them the following year. So another exciting new addition to campus.
Dr. Hendricks is the Vice President for Student Access and Success here at A&M Commerce. Are people talking about the softball addition?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I went to the news conference, and there were actually high school students in the audience from Dallas who are following this coach.
Yeah.
So I think this region, for many, many years, people have dreamt of baseball and softball.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just couldn't be more pleased to
right.
have this.
Yeah.
Is that sort of a plan, like a long-term plan, to eventually introduce baseball too?
Yes, we would very much like to bring baseball as well. It's a few years down the line. We hope not too many years.
Right.
But we wanted to start with softball, make sure we get our gender equity where it needs to be for
right.
under Title IX and NCAA and so forth. But, yeah, as Dr. Hendricks mentioned, this coach is really legendary. He comes to us from Texas Women's University, where he took the team to the College World Series last
wow.
year. So it's great expectations there as well.
Bit of a draw, sounds like.
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. So we're looking for a great year in athletics. In our first half of the show, we talked about enrollment growth. And Dr. Hendricks, do we expect that kind of growth to continue? And if so, why?
We're looking forward to welcoming our largest freshman class this
yeah,
fall.
Excellent.
And I think that's what's so exciting for our university and for our community. To stimulate economic growth in this
mm-hmm.
community, we're going to have students here in
right.
Commerce taking classes. And so we're excited about that growth that we're seeing in the on-campus student population. And, of course, our retention, student retention is up. Student graduation is up, which can also be good and bad
mm-hmm.
because
right. mm-hmm.
we have to recover the loss of those students, but we're
yeah.
happy that they're going out and they're being successful.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what defines a university's success,
yes.
is its ability to produce successful alumni.
Right.
And we're doing that like never before. So that's very gratifying as well. Yeah, I think the idea of having students here in town, it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. You
yes.
know, in order for the businesses, the retail and entertainment and service folks to come to town, there's got to be a market. And the students in a college town like this are that market.
Right.
So the more of them living on campus are, you know, spending their dollars at Walmart and Brookshire's and other places.
Right.
Again, it's win-win.
Well,
it helps everyone.
They're becoming engaged, and I know that there are folks who pay closer attention to this than even me, but I really enjoy seeing students participating in the sphere of social media, and you're seeing more and more of that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're seeing students who are referencing commerce in general and A&M Commerce in their tweets and in their you know, Facebook posts and things like that, which I know that a lot of the time is spent behind the scenes saying what can we do to really engage students and have them reference these conversations that are going on in the world of social media. But now you're finding students who just come by them naturally. They're saying, well, I went to so-and-so event that happened to be in commerce, or I was going to, I'm headed to orientation. Orientation is one of the biggest, socially trending things happening in this region, in this zip code for sure. Yeah. Whenever it starts to happen on Twitter, people are just talking about what's happening. And that's sort of a separate, but I think equally important, frontier for us to be making progress. And I think that's really great that that people are coming by it naturally, and that it is sort of in its own organic way being spread on social media, which is sort of where all the younger people are paying a lot of their attention.
Oh, absolutely.
You take a photo and they're all having dinner together and they're all in their phones, you know they're paying attention to something.
Yeah.
I think that social media might be, it may have a line on them there.
Well, that's the only way I can communicate with my 15-year-old daughter. Yeah. You know, if I call her cell phone, she will not answer it.
Right.
But if I text her, I hear back immediately.
It's important. Yeah. It's important. That's short and to the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But other great things coming up next year. The streets should all be done.
Right. Yes.
Yay.
Fingers crossed. That'll be fun.
Yeah. No, this is a lot of open ditches around campus this summer, and we hope to have all of that stuff done by the time that students return. Most of it will be done. The streets are a partnership with the city, so the timing is a little more tricky there. But by October, we should be nearly done, if not completely done.
There are a lot of people that work here in commerce, and so they said, they kind of scoff at people complaining. They say, well, I can't, get to my office in the same amount of time that it used to take me, so I have to drive around town to get there. And they said, do you know how long we've been living with these streets? This is an upgrade, and we should certainly not look a gift horse in the mouth.
Exactly.
If there's going to be an upgrade, let's take it.
Absolutely.
Right. And, of course, we are still hopeful of getting funding for a new library and technology center. We've talked about that and how that's all caught up in the political process, but we live in hope.
Right, right. And fingers are still crossed.
Fingers are still crossed. Yeah, so long as the legislature is in session, there is a reason for hope. And, again, I think there's a lot of pressure on the legislature and the governor to move on this. And we're looking for a very exciting year coming up.
I think there's something we look forward to all the time, but in this situation, of course, we can't touch on everything, but eventually we will have listed all the things to look forward to, either ahead of time or when we're bragging about them on the back end.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah.
This has been the August 2013 edition of The President's Perspective. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Mary Hendricks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jared.
And Dr. Jones, a pleasure as always.
The pleasure is mine, Jared. Thank you.
The President's Perspective is a partnership production of 88.9 KETR and Texas A&M University Commerce, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from KETR's members. Become a member today or find downloadable podcasts of this and other locally produced series that you can hear again and again by visiting ketr.org. This program is produced at KETR Studios in historic Binion Hall on Education Drive in Commerce, Texas. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.